And amen. The four New Testament Gospels show Christ, but they emphasize different characteristics of the Savior. In Matthew, we have Christ the Sovereign as the King. In Mark, we have Christ the Servant. In Luke, we have Christ the Son of Man. And in John, we have Christ the Son of God. This is emphasized over and over and over again. And we rejoice in that because as the Son of God, he is the perfect Holy One who is able to take the place of sinners. If you notice in the very first verse that we read in John chapter 14, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." The context of this chapter is the Last Supper. In fact, it's just after the Last Supper has taken place. And the Lord takes the next number of chapters and he ministers to his disciples. He speaks to them and he emphasizes some truths to them. In the midst of this, he tells them that he is going away. And there is fear among his disciples. They are troubled. And the word of the Lord to his disciples that night is, in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." How often our hearts are troubled. Whenever we face circumstances we don't understand, things that would cause us alarm or to be fearful. As I was preaching this morning in Muckerfeld, I had mentioned about the 12 spies who went into the land of Canaan. And when they came back, 10 of them brought what the Bible calls an evil report. And then Joshua and Caleb brought a good report. Their reports had to do with their perception. Because whenever the 10 spies who brought the evil report looked at the land of Canaan and all the people therein, they saw problems that were bigger than their God. But whenever Joshua and Caleb went into that land, they were looking at the problems with this perspective: God is bigger than all of our problems. And whenever the disciples realized that the Lord was leaving them, there was fear. But the Lord emphasized and made it very clear that as he left them, he was going to send his Holy Spirit, who would do something all of that work that Christ had done in person. Dwelling within his people, he would lead them, he would guide them, and he would bring them to the words of Christ, bring to their remembrance the words of the Savior. He gave a wonderful hope and assurance to all of God's people in these words, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." God is preparing a place for his people. And then a further wonderful assurance, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is a wonderful hope of the child of God, that where our Savior is, we also will be. You know, whenever we think about death, it's not something we perhaps like to dwell upon. But for the Christian, they can take the words of the Apostle Paul and say, "It is absent from the body, present with the Lord. Where Christ is, I will be." Our loved ones who have died in Christ, where Christ is, there they are. But dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, where Christ is, you will never be. You cannot dwell in the place of eternal joy, glory, and bliss as a sinner. And it's interesting that in this passage, Thomas questions the Lord. And I know Thomas gets a lot of bad press, and many people call him Doubting Thomas for various reasons. But you know what? I'm glad he asked this question. I'm glad Thomas asked, "Lord, how can we know the way?" Because it resulted in one of the most famous verses of Scripture. And one of those verses of scripture that contains so much of the gospel. Thomas wanted to know the way to heaven. I wonder, have you ever stopped and said, how can I be sure of heaven? How can I know that when I close my eyes in death, that I will enter into heaven? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I notice in this passage that no man, and that word man is used inclusively, man, woman, boy, or girl. No individual can come unto God as they are. Not one of us can approach God. Not one of us can have peace with God. Not one of us can please God, because we are born as sinners. And if we are ever going to be united to God, it will only be through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we were born in iniquity. And sin is an awful thing. Sin is the greatest problem that you have, dear sinner. Because sin brings upon sinners the wrath of God. God is angry with sin, but God is angry with sinners. And if you're sitting here tonight thinking that somehow by simply being in God's house, you're pleasing him, you're earning merit with God, that God is pleased with you and you're not saved, let me tell you tonight, God is angry with you. That's the teaching of Scripture. Sin brings the wrath of God. Sin brings guilt. You sit here tonight guilty before a holy God. Man looketh an outward appearance. I see a group of people who've dressed respectively for church. But God looketh in the heart. And God sees your guilt and God sees your shame. And no amount of effort or works or religion can cover it. You're guilty before holy God. Not only that, but sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. Now, death in itself comes to all men physically, but this is speaking about the sinner being cast into hell. This is speaking about eternal darkness, eternal separation from God, a place without hope, without rescue, a place without any moment where you'll not be suffering. Hell is the end of a life of sin. Eternal separation from a holy God. But I am glad to tell you tonight, you do not have to leave in your sin. That the Lord Jesus Christ himself shows us how we can be saved. He tells us, first of all, in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. I am the way. In the Word of God, life is often described as a journey. The Lord Jesus Christ himself used this very picture. He speaks about two roads in Matthew chapter 7. Listen to these words in verses 13, 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We're born on the broad way. Every single person is born on the broad way that leads to eternal destruction. Now, on the broad way, there are many types of lifestyles. And there are many labels. And many people identify themselves in various ways. But the reality is, God has one term for those who are on the broad road, and that is sinners. Many compare themselves to others. Many say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. You wouldn't catch me speaking like that person or doing what that person would do. And in their mind, they're living on the clean side of the broad road. Let me tell you, there's no clean side of the broad road. You may not be as openly sinful in your open actions before man, but let me tell you, you're thoroughly sinful. From the top of your head to the sole of your foot, you're a sinner through and through. It's infiltrated every single aspect and part of your being. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that he is the way to get to heaven. Let me tell you, you need to get off that broad road or you'll end up in hell. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ said he is the way. He didn't say he was a way. The Lord is not one of several options that you can take and we'll all end up in heaven one way. Man once said to a preacher, you know, you go your way and do your thing, and I'll go my way and do my thing, but sure, we'll all end up in heaven at the end of the day anyway. No, that's not in the Bible. That is wishful thinking, unscriptural thinking on man's part. Jesus is the only way. And in our modern, hypersensitive society, people record, oh, you can't say that. That offends him and that offends her and that offends everybody else. The Word of God declares, Jesus said, I am the way. There's only one way. Every other religion is false. Every other religion will take you to hell. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. We're not asked in Scripture to go and search and to find a way. He is declared to us as the only way. You're commanded to trust in Christ as your way. There's no substitute for Jesus' way. I often think of those words, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Imagine that. Living your life believing that you're right. Living your life believing that what you're doing is taking you to heaven. But when you come to the end of life, it results in hell. There are people tonight have an unscriptural view of God, that heaven's open to everyone. God's not concerned about sin. God loves everybody. And this, we're just radicals, extremists. And a loving God couldn't send anyone to hell. And they're living their lives based on faith in that false teaching. The end? Hell. Some people believe because they go to church. Maybe their name is on a membership roll. Maybe they've been baptized, confirmed, christened, whatever. Maybe they sat at the Lord's table. Maybe they even hold an office in the church, but they've never actually repented of their sin and trusted Christ. The end thereof are the ways of death. Some people try to be good, to love their family, to be good citizens, to be kind. And really, humanly speaking, you could hardly fault them. And it may seem right to them that they're living a good life, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's only one way. It's God's way. It's in the sending of his precious Son into this world to be our Savior. And do you know that today you're either walking with Christ in the narrow way, on your way to heaven, or you're walking without him on your way to hell? Everything else, apart from Christ, will cost you your soul. Everything else apart from Christ will land you in hell. Why is Christ the only way? Why Christ? Because he is the only one who is able to reconcile a holy God, sinful man. So great was the gulf between God and man But Christ, the God-man, came down, representing God in his eternity, in his holiness, in his purity, and representing man by taking upon him flesh and blood. And as the God-man, the innocent one, the pure, the holy one, who never had any shadow of sinning, hung upon the cross, God placed the sins of his people upon him. That means that every lie I have ever told, and every wrong thing that I have done, and every wicked thought that has entered my mind, Christ, my Savior, my substitute, bore the wrath of God for me. He bore hell for me on the cross of Calvary. He bore separation from his Father for me, that I might never be separated from him. As he gave up the ghost, he did so knowing that the work had been completed. The blood had been shed. The sacrifice had been made, and death had come, and he gives up the ghost. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ showed that God the Father had accepted the work that had been done. Friend, there's nothing more that needs to be done for your salvation. Jesus has completed the work. All that you're called to do is to repent and be converted. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that the work he did is sufficient for you. Believe that the blood he shed can cleanse your sin. And step out in faith. Lord, I believe you died to save me. And I need to be saved tonight, and I pray that you will come and that you will save me and cleanse me and wash me in the blood and make me your child. Friend, we need to do that. You need to do that if you're ever going to be saved. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ say he was the way, he said he was the truth. The truth. That's something that's not very common these days. Listen to these words. The Word was made flesh. As Christ was made flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. Being holy, being pure, being spotless, it being impossible for him to sin because he was God, every word he spoke was absolute truth. Every word that he spoke was absolute truth. Do you realize in your hand tonight you hold the Word of God? The revelation of God to man, it is inspired by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We think in 2 Peter how it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book has been given by God. This book is alive. It is quick. That means living. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is truth. Over and over again in Psalm 119, we read about descriptions of the Word of God. And there in verse number 160, we read these words, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And can I say, I believe that God's word is true from the beginning. From Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You cannot say, well, you know, maybe the Lord used evolution and maybe the Lord used this or that, and we could maybe tie it in that way to please everybody. Nonsense. God created this world in 6 days. Out of nothing by the word of his power. How dare any man or woman come and say that part of the scripture is true? Let me tell you, if one word of this is not true, then the whole book must go. But God's word is true from the beginning. True from the beginning. From Genesis to Revelation, men have tried to silence this book. Countries have tried to ban this book. People have tried to burn the book. But they're gone. And this book still remains. This book is eternal. It will stand forever. And I want to say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ continually referred to the Old Testament to teach and preach the gospel. And in the gospels we have his personal teaching as he walked among men. And in the New Testament we have the teachings of the apostles as the Holy Spirit gave them inspiration. So this book is of God. And what does it declare? It declares our condition before a holy God. And that's truth. If you're not saved, you're a sinner. It contains the judgment by a holy God and how God will judge the world in righteousness and truth by that man whom he hath appointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. It also contains warnings from a holy God that if we do not repent, we shall perish. That if we do not believe that he is the Christ, we shall die in our sin. But praise God, it also offers salvation from a holy God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. We could stand for hours tonight giving you the invitations of the word of God. And we can give them to you with authority because this book is a word of truth. I want to say something today, and especially today, because we are in a fantasy world with a lot of people from government right down. Truth is not decided by your feelings. That is not the basis of truth. Truth is not decided by popular opinion. Should the world stand on its head and go against this book, God's truth still stands. Truth is absolute. You either receive it or you reject it. You can't just take a little bit and mix it in with error. You either accept the book, you accept the Christ of the book as he is offered and the way he is offered, or you reject it. Now, can I ask, have you accepted the book? Have you accepted the Savior? Are you sitting tonight as a Christ rejecter in God's house? Truth is not common today. Think of the courts. Truth is not common. Television, radio, magazines, people will say anything they want to suit themselves. And sometimes when truth is declared, and I can share with you now that I no longer listen to talk show radio or phone-in radio programs because it was doing nothing for my spiritual life. I was getting angry and frustrated, and I turned it off, and I've been blessed. But when I did, and someone rang in with truth or came from a Christian point of view, what happened? The phone lines were flooded with antagonistic, ungodly people taking the name of the Lord in vain, speaking against the church, the word of God, and the Christian. You see, truth is not popular. But God, your creator, has spoken to you in truth. Friend, tonight you have the honor of holding truth in your hand. You have the privilege of hearing truth tonight. Not because I'm speaking, no, no, no. But because I'm sharing with you the truth of the Word of God. I can't save you. But I can show you from this book one who can. My Savior, my beloved, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can assure you, you can take him at his word. Not one word of what he has promised me has ever failed. And not one word of what he promises ever will fail. You can depend upon him. If you turn from your sin, he will save you tonight. Finally, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You know, Christ is attributed in Scripture with the work of creation. And God is the giver of physical life as well as spiritual life. And if you went out into this town tonight and asked, what are you living for? What's the point of your life? What are you searching for? Everybody wants to live life to the full. But can I say to you, dear friend, fullness of life is found in Christ. True life, spiritual life, is found by going God's way, by obeying and accepting God's truth. Life, spiritual life, fullness of life in time, and then life forever in eternity. You can experience everything this world has to offer. You can try everything that your mind rests upon, but you will not have tasted of true life until you've accepted Christ. Natural life is brief. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our human physical life is so short. I buried a man in our congregation this week who was 99 years old. He was actually 6 weeks just before his 100th birthday. And that life's now over. And as he often looked back, he said how quickly his life had gone. We've been in this service an hour. And the reality is, from you walked in that door until you walk out again, 1 hour of our life has gone into eternity. We're 1 hour closer to death. And for some, that will be in a few years' time. For some, it will be months. For some, it could be tonight. You have absolutely no say over when God has appointed the time of your death. But praise God, tonight you can ensure that you have eternal life. Spiritual life. Everlasting life. You need to repent, because if you do not, you will perish. You need a call tonight, because if you don't, you'll never be saved. You need to trust him tonight. Because if you don't, you'll never be in heaven. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's my question as we close. Will you come to the Father through Christ? Will you come to the Savior tonight? He is mighty to save. He's ready to save. He's able to save. And he's willing to save those who call on him. Will you come tonight? Will you turn from your sin? I'll be at the door as you're leaving. And if I can be of any help to you spiritually, then please let me know. I know there's communion service here, but if you need to be saved, we'll get that matter sorted first. And then come around the table. Don't leave without the Savior tonight. Don't hope for another opportunity. But come. Welcome to Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for bringing us this very familiar passage of God's word. Lord, those of us who are saved are so thankful that Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is ours tonight. Where would we be, O Lord, if not for our Savior? But we thank thee we're saved tonight, sitting clothed and in a right mind in the house of God. Preparing our hearts now to sit around the table, and yet there may be those not ready. Oh, Lord, don't allow sinners to leave in their sin. But this night, Lord, give deciding grace, and may we hear precious souls turning to Christ. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn, which is hymn 113. Then after we've sung this hymn, if you need to go or you're not staying for communion, then you may go after that. I'll go down to the door and just greet you as you leave. But we'll stand and sing this together, and then those who need to can leave. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Praise God, there's still power in the blood tonight for sinners to be saved.